Let's pray together. Let us pray. Dear living God, we thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh on the day of Pentecost. And ascended Lord Jesus, we thank you for the promise that you will come again and appear, and we shall be like you. You shall bring all things together in harmony, and all of the powers of evil and darkness and wrong will be finished with, and a great new age will open up before us. Thank you that already that has begun. So if any person is in Christ, they're part of the new creation being renewed by your Spirit. So Lord, be upon us today, be within us, be beside us, go ahead of us and before us, and uplift us where we're downcast. Especially, there's been in the broken hearts that in the communities of Australian people, there's been love shared across borders by neighbours and friends in a way you have lost a lot, and ask that we will together all see the power of your Spirit in our cities. Be with special way, Lord, and the most strengthened in our doctrinal and devotional, and as a community together of faith, we pray the Holy Spirit will renew us as the Clare Uniting Church and other regions that we represent today. So thank you, and Lord, our eyes are upon you, our ears are attentive to your word now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In a few centuries leading up to Jesus coming into the world, there weren't happened. He said, what the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. What the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. So there wasn't much left after that. And as those of you who've seen the devastation the grasshoppers cause when we were up in Peterborough, they would get on the slipstream from Queensland and they'd go up very high, and in no time they'd jet down on these slipstreams and then start chewing the crops up around Oraru and so on, and made a pretty devastating mess in many places. But so they'd been devastated by grasshoppers. Our lives are often devastated by other things, whether they're relationship things that just sort of destroy our happiness, or you know, we've had fires and floods and drought and a lot of other things. So anyway, Joel spoke these happy prophetic words that are part of his prophecy, and this is, I'm just going to pick up a little bit in chapter 2. He said, "Do not fear, O soil." It's interesting to speak to the soil. "Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green, and the tree bears its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication, and he's poured down for you abundant rain, and the early and the latter rain as before. And the threshing floors shall be full of grain, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil." Be nice if you knew that was what's going to happen in 2020, wouldn't it? Great. He makes this promise to those who'd lost a lot. "I will repay for you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, and my great army which I sent against you." So the Lord sent these little creatures to bring them a certain amount of unhappiness. Then he said, You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who's dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. And then afterward, and this is a passage you'll be familiar with, then afterward, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see visions, even on male and female slaves. In those days I will pour out my spirit. And what we do is then jump forward from that old prophecy through to the reading we had today from the book of Acts, where what took place was, and I'm just going to recount things you know, but I'm just going to say them so we've got them in our minds. But Jesus came into this world, and you would think a man full of the Spirit, full of life and full of new relationships, renewing power. Wherever he went, new things happened. You would think that everyone in this world would have greeted him and said, welcome. You've made a great difference to our community and our great lives. Well, people followed him for a time, but then everyone forsook him and fled. And he was left to suffer alone. And his sufferings were an important part of his life-giving and renewing of relationships. So without that suffering, you and I could never be renewed and freed in all of our relationships. So this Jesus suffers, and he is crucified. And he is hated, and that power of hatred that the world displays against him, he is a man filled with the Spirit, and he's not deterred by that. So he is crucified, he dies, and in his dying, he bears our sins. He takes them all away. He did that by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gathered up, and I'm just going to tell you this, but you can read it in Hebrews chapter 9, by the power of the eternal Spirit. He gathered up, as it were, the whole of the human history and all of the sins of all of the world for all time were laid upon him. He entered into the judgment on all sin and evil. And the Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all, and he bore our sins in his body on the tree until they were no more. And when he'd finished, he cried out, "It is finished." And he breathed his last, and they took him down and put this dead man in the grave. And that was all on Friday, and then Saturday everything was silent, and nothing happened of great significance that day. But on Sunday morning, when Jesus rose from the grave, something happened in that tomb, and his life was shown to be an indestructible life, a life that can't be destroyed, because it was a holy life. We've been talking about holy life. Well, his life was a holy life. That is, it was entirely true. And in power of holiness, that's just in his total genuineness and goodness and the power of God at work in him, the true God the Son. He defeated death, and he did that on our behalf. And then he moved in the power of the Spirit, and I don't know how you move the other side of the grave, raised as a man, but he moved and he went down to Galilee, and there a lot of people saw him. And he spoke to them and said that, he said, I'm going to be with you to the close of this age. And so they believed that, and they met with him, and he taught them over the next 40 days. He taught them about the kingdom of God, what it was like to be under his life as the king. And as that happened, they became people in a new kingdom under a new lordship, devoted. Last week we said the holy people, holy nation, were devoted to the Lord, and he was devoted to them. And so they are a new people with a new, amazing new life. And then on the day of Pentecost, not only this group, they understood even better then, but on that day, or Jesus ascended into heaven, they saw him go. He ascended into heaven, and from there he poured out the Spirit of God, as Joel had promised, all flesh. He poured out the Spirit upon all flesh. And those who receive the Spirit, and that you do that through faith, you do that through repentance, you turn back to God and you confess that you're not what you should be, that God is who he always was. He is your heavenly Father, he's your guarantee of a future, and he's the one whom you should love. And you turn back to him. And in faith and repentance, that means turning back, you begin a new life in a way that you've never lived before. That's what happened on this day. And Peter explained that all these people that were talking to one another in their own, they heard an amazing thing. They heard all at the same time in their own different native languages. They heard God speaking to them. When you know the Lord is speaking to you, you are in a different place. You're in a new world. You're a part of the new creation. You're part of living now by the Holy Spirit when you hear God speaking to you. Now, I shared with the 815 congregation, I've sat like you have in messages like this, and I've sat and listened, and sometimes, or mostly, my mind has wandered off onto a lot of different things while the preacher's talking. And that's perfectly normal. And it's in that process that God actually speaks to you. And because I'm speaking today, but I'm teaching a certain amount of the Christian doctrine, I'm illustrating some things along the way, but I don't know what Jesus is actually. I know he's talking to you about these things by his Spirit, but he is talking to you personally. And he's poured out his Spirit, he's pouring his Spirit into your heart, and he's talking to you about a lot of things in your life along the way. And yes, he's making plain sense of what I'm trying to make sense of. He's making clear. But he's also making clear in your life. And I don't mind if you hear and you're listening, because Christ, my every confidence is not that I'm speaking and good at sermons or doctrine. It's that Jesus Christ is talking to you. And he's talking to you about your life through his word. Somehow he brings the written word to life and he talks to you about it. And today, you know, our theme is the Holy Spirit. And when a person and when a group of people like us are filled with the Holy Spirit, same process happens as happened on the day of Pentecost. God adds to their number this day. They heard, they believed the promise to them and their children and their children's children. And they realised that God was very interested in their families down the line, and they believed this, and they turned and were baptised, and they started to devote themselves. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, to understand, and to the fellowship. They didn't neglect to meet together. They got together with other Christians, Because every time you do, something happens. You know, you should get together sometimes just to pray with a Christian friend. You should do it maybe once a week, once a fortnight, whenever you can fit it in. But get together and pray. When you meet in the Lord's name, he comes and sits down there with you and talks to you, and he listens to what you're saying, and he joins you in with his plan, and his and your prayers are active and wonderful things happen. So, you know, we are filled as God's people with the Spirit. This day, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. They just kept getting together. And awe, they were just in awe, came upon everyone, because a lot of signs and wonders were being done by the apostles. The Lord just, as Graham said, sent a lady, Trish, in this morning, and she got mixed up and went to the wrong church, but sort of turned out to be the right church because she was friends with Bobby's brother, I think it is, Stephen, and Stephen Pierce. And I said, well, Stephen's mother's here, Beryl, so we introduced them, and all these things happened. We prayed for a friend who had asked to be prayed for, and we talked about how these prayers count, and she went somewhere and wanted to pray, and so she landed here and we just joined in. God is introducing us. He's a creative God. He's not only creating new people, as I said, he created Meshach so we'd have a new baby in our midst, mostly for Luke and Izzy, but we got the side benefits, you know. But God's creating new people all the time. He's introducing you to new people by his Spirit, because not only is he creating new human beings, but he's recreating relationships and he's creating new ones. That's why when you meet someone for the first time and they meet you, God is doing a new thing. And as you welcome them into your life, certain things about the other person, God is interacting into your life. So that's part of the way he does that, but he does it in renewing our relationships as well. And I'll bet that this group of people would be like us. They had many things in their lives that were, you know, people were hard about and they hadn't forgiven. And they were living in the wrong way. But this day they were baptized into a new community. They received the forgiveness of their sins, so they stopped being so right themselves about everything and started to give grace to others and kindness and forgiveness because they'd accepted that. And the Holy Spirit then renewed them to make them more like the person they should be. And that's what was the beginnings of the Christian church, and that's the good story of the Christian church. It's mostly what God's doing. And it's this whole era now. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit. So the last days began then. They're not just some last dark days before the Lord comes. No, all of this period is the last days. It's an era in which God's Spirit is being filling you and you so that a whole community starts to live by the Spirit. But the thing I wanted to say, I'm going to just say a couple of things this morning about the Holy Spirit. First one is that the Holy Spirit's unlike all other spirits and is known through faith in Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit comes to you and you're filled anew, you have the life of Jesus lives in you, and he's the suffering Lord, so you're going to have some of that. But it's in your suffering, like in his suffering, life came to the world through. He took our guilt and sin and gave us his life. Well, as you share in his sufferings, you will be part of bringing life to others. And that can be just, that can just be working hard, serving others, sweating on their behalf and their benefit. It's not intense suffering, but it's just part of it. And it can be that you get rejected from time to time and you are not wanted and people treat you as they treated your Lord. And when that happens, well, you'll just have a smile on your face, won't you? Oh, grit through your teeth. Because the Lord, in love and kindness, I don't guess he was smiling on the cross, but he was certainly loving on the cross, and he will love, and you will love, he'll love through you in the middle of your sufferings, and that's the touch point where life comes. So God has always done this way, and he's unlike other spirits in this way. Exodus 15:11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? This is the living God who can do wonders because he's the creator and he creates new wonders. So he creates a new people by bringing them out across the Red Sea and frees them. Psalm 35:10. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you, who delivers the poor from those stronger than he? Yea, the poor and the needy from him who plunders them. So the Lord loves the poor and he does bless them. And your righteousness, Psalm 71:19. O God, is very high, who have done great things, O God. Who is like you? Jeremiah said, and we sing this song sometimes, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? For fear belongs to you, because among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. John tells us to test the spirits to see if they're God. Don't let some other spirit come into your life. An Aboriginal woman once told me that there's a little bee thing that buzzes and comes to them, and they can receive this kind of tribal spirit into their life, or they cannot. And she said, no, Jesus is Lord, and I'm not going to do that. Now, the African people are affected by all sorts of evil spirits, and many of the Aboriginal people say they don't want to go up in the APY lands because there's people, powerful people, who have powers that do things, and they don't like this. So, but those that have become Christians generally strengthen on that, and they say, no, I can go freely. Jesus Christ is Lord, his spirit's in me, and they see what Jesus did to the other spirits, just said, go, out, go, move them on. So Jesus' spirit is unlike, it's the Holy Spirit, the good spirit, the spirit that fills your life. And lots of people are dabbling. Whenever you dabble in the occult, you're playing with other spirits, and it's unhealthy, dangerous a bit, and it's not a good thing. Many people who come out of Hinduism tell of the control they'd been under by a wrong spirit. So we're to receive the Holy Spirit and then go on in the life that the Spirit gives. The Holy Spirit opens up all things of God to us. It's kind of like the spotlight. He doesn't show himself. He points the spotlight onto Jesus and shows us the suffering, the loving, the joyful, the triumphant, the creative Jesus. And in him we put our hope and our faith, and the Spirit keeps showing us who this Jesus is, and we follow him and live our lives after him. The Holy Spirit, John tells us this, John chapter 16 and chapter 14 says, when the Spirit comes, He'll show you all of these things. He'll glorify me. He'll take what's mine and declare it or tell you about it. All that the Father has is mine, says Jesus. For this reason, I said, he'll take what is mine and show it to you. So the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God, says Paul. So that's the Spirit in you. And he searches your spirit and drives out the darkness and sins and wrongs. And the same Spirit is also called the Paraclete. Did you do Alpha studies here years ago? Do you remember Nicky Gumbel told the story of there was a tugboat, I think, or certainly a helpful boat in storms, and it was called the Parakletos, or the Paraclete. Now, that's the word, the Greek word, which is for the counsellor or comforter that will come to you. Jesus said, when I ascend into heaven, I'll send the Paraclete, and he'll come alongside of you. And Nicky Gumbel said that this boat, when someone's storm-tossed and they're going to lose their vessel at sea, this Parakletos comes alongside of their boat and brings them safely into harbour. He said, that's the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside you. A word also for an armour bearer, so there you are. So it's a wonderful one. He guards you as the armour bearer. He protects you. And so if you have the Holy Spirit, you can go freely in life wherever you like, he'll help you. We prayed for our uni students this morning. They're going off to uni and starting. Well, it's nearly as nervous as being in grade one or reception, you know. You're not sure what it's going to be like, but the Holy Spirit is with you, is alongside of you, and he helps you. And you can come home and say, I had a good day. Or like our daughter said the next day she went to school, I don't need you, Mum. I'm right okay. Thank you very much. In grade one. And so, you know, we have the Spirit to help us. Let me ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit helping you? Is he alongside you, drawing alongside you, always with you? In your storm-tossed sea, he is taking you into a harbour. They're just images, but these are the things. So he's a comforter, he's a counsellor. We prayed for Lyle this morning, who's feeling his age and his heart, and he knows he's old, and he knows he hasn't got a long time, and he's feeling that, but he's got a counsellor, he's got an advocate, he's got a comforter. The Spirit of God, and a lot of family to say those things as well. Who is this Spirit? Well, the same Spirit as Leanne mentioned about in creation, the same Spirit who brought the whole creation, the chaos of the origins into order, is the same God who brings your chaos into order. Do you have some dysfunctionality in your life? In your family? Hand up if you don't. You know, Christ comes and gives you the Spirit, and he comes to recreate and renew relationships that are not good and as they should be. And he comes to create fresh ones, fresh friends for you when you lose a friend. And that is what he's doing all the time. And he's doing this with us as a church. I just want to finish on this note. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that the Spirit has been given to the whole, all members of the church. It was lovely to see. Was it Emily or Greta who was dancing this morning? Beautifully. It was lovely to see you dancing, you know. And so, you know, a whole of the congregation, from Greta or Emily right through, have been empowered or given the Spirit so that, this is what it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for it's for our good. I wanted to dance, but I didn't want to look too kooky, so I kind of, you know, And my best dance always looks kooky still, so I didn't have much. I tapped my toe, that's about as close as I got. But the common good I felt. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. When you have a cup of coffee, you've still been thinking about something, just listen while you're chatting. Someone will have a wise word that you may won't even know they've said it, but the Spirit will say it through them. To another of knowledge, and another according to the same Spirit. To another will be given faith by the same Spirit. Come on, have faith, says someone. To another, gifts of healing, we say after the service, if you want to be prayed for, we pray. And to another, prophecy. To another, gifts of discernment of spirits, tongues and interpreting tongues. All these are activated by the one and the same Spirit who chooses and gives to each individually just as he chooses. And this is the last bit. For just as where one body has many members and all of the members of the same body through many in one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, Clarites or Kalungarites, all baptized into the one, slave or free, and we're all made to drink of the one Spirit. My time's gone. The Holy Spirit is doing this, creating a new community in our uniting church, in our group here this morning, and all of the churches. God is doing a new thing in Clare because that is the God that he is, and he's creating new relationships so that he can bless the world and bring it to its goal, and that's how it is. I asked this morning, just on the last little question, you know how it's good to have a mate in life? If you hang out with the same people all the time, you can get to be a stalemate, if you can follow what I mean. So, you know, God gives us mates, but he does want us to create and be involved in new people, relate to new people. So, you know, it's great to have a mate, but not just stale. So the Lord renews everything that's stale and makes it fresh. And that is the action of the Holy Spirit. So I would like to pray that all of God's spiritual gifts may be present and alive among us, building us together into the year. Shall we pray? Living Lord, may our relationships all be deeply affected by the blessed Holy Spirit. Fill every one of us anew, we ask today, for your good purpose, and help us to embrace our sufferings and difficulties because there new life comes. So we thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.